Good morning. How is everyone? I'm moving a bit slow this morning. I've got a bit of back pain. I'm tired. Does anyone feel that way? No, just me. All right. I thought I'd just get a bit of sympathy, but it didn't work. Oh, thank you. That's better. How are you all doing? Good. You know, these watches that we have are really funny. You know, I was sitting there trying to focus on the Lord, and then my hand starts buzzing, and there's this notification telling me that the voice levels in this environment that I'm in are so high, and if it keeps going for 30 minutes, it will cause temporary hearing loss. Yes, because of the band was playing. So I was like, okay, I don't think they'll go for 30 minutes, so we're safe. Yeah? So, welcome to everyone. Anybody who's a visitor, I'm Pastor Nami, if we haven't met. It's always good having the opportunity to just come and share what the Lord's put in my heart. I had the privilege yesterday of sharing at Women's Morning Tea at C3 Stand. And, it's always nice to just hang with women. You know, I really enjoy that. But I just wanted to kind of share something about the message before I get into... All right, so you did put it up. Anyway, I'd asked for that to not be put up yet, but it's okay since it's up there. But the message was really about who told you that you are naked, and was taken from Genesis 3, the encounter between God, Adam, and Eve. And the message was really about us being naked and unashamed. And the interesting thing for me was that when I was asked to speak at this event, I got that scripture and I had it all planned out. Then they put a post on Facebook about it, but I didn't know that they were going to put that, because I thought they would just put that Pastor Onami from C3 Fremantle. But they put a little bit more detail than I wanted. So they said, "We are delighted to welcome Pastor Onami Magwenzi, senior pastor at C3 Fremantle and C3 Kunana, originally from Botswana and now based in Perth. She'll be sharing at our morning tea. A qualified clinical psychologist, Pastor Onami brings wisdom and encouragement as she speaks." Anyway, it went on and on and on. And then that put me into a bit of a spin, a little bit, not too big, because I was like, ah, now I'm going to have to show up as a psychologist as well. Because I believe with God there is no accidents. So I looked at that, I said, I didn't even get, because if they'd asked me what to put, I wouldn't have put all that detail. Because I'm very good at hiding. I'm very good. I've always enjoyed being in the background. Don't want to tell you any. If anything that I do it and I run, right? Many things I've done. And that is exactly what the message was about. It was about hiding. A lot of us are very good at hiding because it's a safe place, so we think. But when we look at the life of Adam and Eve and the encounter they had with God in the garden, God said, "Who told you that you were naked?" It wasn't because God didn't know they were naked. It was because he wanted them to reflect on what just happened. They saw themselves as naked after they ate of what was forbidden. God told them not to go and eat that tree, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because God knew once you do that, your eyes would be opened and your perception would change. It was their perception of themselves, not God. It was their perception of themselves that changed everything. But another thing that I saw in this scripture was that it wasn't just that the enemy came and put an idea in Eve's mind. It was the interpretation that Eve put on it, and the blame that went around when God confronted them. You know, it's very easy to point at the devil for why things are not working for us. It's very easy to point at the devil for why we're not where we think we should be. But I really wanted to point out that a big part of why we are where we are is the interpretation that we put on our situation. They hid from God. They condemned themselves. And so I wonder for you, as we go into this week of fasting, like Pastor Stephen said, I wonder if you would just take a moment to reflect on whether you have put interpretations that are not from the devil, that are not from God, that are actually responsible for why you are where you are in life. Because our identity is in Christ. So identity is not the issue. And with that identity comes authority. So authority is not the issue. The issue is that we're not planting the seeds. We're not taking the steps. We're not taking the platforms. We're not speaking the words that we're meant to be speaking because we're not walking in authority, because we are hiding. We have run. We've changed our perception, or our perception has changed of ourselves and of God. So just wanted to add that to my message. So we are starting a two-part series on our Seek God Fast. So today is part one, next week is part two. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6:16, that when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. It's not if you fast, it's when you fast. So there's an expectation there that we would. For some people, the idea of fasting may seem unusual. For some, you know, you've been doing it all your life. And so for those who are not used to it, you may be wondering, why would anyone choose not to eat? Why would anyone choose to deprive themselves of anything? It tells us in the scripture I just quoted, do not look somber, meaning dark, gloomy, depressingly serious. Don't do that. Because that's how one might feel when they're hungry and not satisfying that hunger. Biblical fasting is not about punishing ourselves. It's not about proving our spirituality. It's not about ticking a box or trying to earn God's love. We are already fully loved and accepted through Jesus Christ. So fasting is a voluntary decision to set aside something that normally satisfies us, most commonly food. If you look at the Bible, fasting was always about food. In order to intentionally seek God with greater focus and dependence, we see throughout the Bible that there are different ways and different reasons that people fasted. People fasted to repent. Fasting often accompanied confession of sin. People fasted to seek wisdom and direction when facing important decisions. I know for myself, when I've had major decisions to make, fasting has been my go-to. So people fasted for guidance. People fasted to intercede for others. People fasted while they're praying intensely for someone else. When they were mourning and grieving, people fasted. When they were preparing for God's work, people fasted. Whenever there were significant moments of ministry, people fasted. And most importantly, people fasted and still do to seek God and draw near to Him. And this is perhaps the most foundational reason for fasting. As a church, twice a year, as Pastor Stephen has mentioned, we have a commitment, and it is a commitment, to engage in a seek God fast, where the primary purpose is pursuing a deeper relationship with God, rather than trying to get something from Him. If we do get something from that, that's a bonus. The heart behind it is, God, I want you more than I want the comforts, more than to satisfy my appetites, more than pleasures, more than entertainment. Out of that, we believe that we will hear what the Lord is saying to us as individuals, as families, and as a church community. We inquire of the Lord. Pastor Stephen has been talking about inquiring of the Lord. We look to sharpen our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and to understand the heart of God for us as a congregation. And we know scripture talks about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. So if you're taking notes, as it's up there already, life-giving disciples seek him. Life-giving disciples seek him. So this year as a church, as part of what C3 Global is doing, we've really been focusing on becoming life-giving disciple. But here's the thing. You cannot give away what you do not possess. If our lives are empty, distracted, weary, disconnected from God, we have very little to offer others. So before we can be life-giving to our families, to our workplaces, our communities, we must first receive life from the one who is life itself. So life-giving disciples seek him. In the book of John 15, verse 5, don't worry, desk, you don't have that scripture. It says, I am the vine. This is the Lord Jesus. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Fruitfulness comes from staying connected to the vine. So fasting is one way we intentionally deepen that connection. Because as we seek God, he fills us, not just with his presence, but with his peace, his love, his power. He transforms us from the inside out. And then out of that overflow of what he's doing in us, we become people who bring hope in hopeless situations, encouragement to the discouraged, and healing to the broken. So before we can ask God to change our circumstances, he wants to change us. He wants to capture our hearts before we become life-giving to others. There are things that God wants to do in us. Isaiah 58, verse 1 to 5. I'm going to be using that passage, Isaiah 58, both this week and next week. But this week, we're just focusing on verse 1 to 5. It says, shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if there were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Isaiah 58 is one of the strongest chapters in the Bible on fasting because God exposes something shocking. For day after day, they seek me. At first, this sounds quite positive. God says they seek him daily. They delight to know his ways. They appear righteous and they ask for justice. They seem eager for God. His people, you and I, were fasting. But God wasn't accepting it. Imagine praying, doing your daily devotion, worshiping, giving, serving, fasting. Yet heaven says, no, that's not it. that should make every believer pause. I'm doing everything I know to do. There's a difference between seeking God himself and seeking what God can give me. From the outside, everything looks spiritual. I'm attending church, I pray, fast, sing the songs. I even lift my hands in worship. But who knows, appearances can be deceiving. Many people seek God for protection, for blessings, healing, provision, breakthrough, you name it, without actually seeking God himself. Life-giving disciples don't simply seek God's hand, they seek his heart. You know, there's a song, I can't remember who sings this, that says, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." They seek his heart. Life-giving disciples ask different questions. Instead of asking God, "Why haven't you answered me?" they ask God to search them. Like in Psalm 139, "Search me, know my heart." Biblical fasting is not simply about saying no to food. It's saying yes to God and being intentional about creating space to hear him. It's about surrender and submission, and it's about vowing to become more like Christ. Everything we do boils down to Christ. So God's not looking for impressive fasting. He's looking for surrendered hearts. Because life-giving disciples don't just fast food or electronics, you know, these days, or any other pleasure. They seek him and they ask him to reveal himself. Fasting is not just about abstaining from food. It's about pursuing God. Life-giving disciples are aligned. Not only do they seek him, but they are aligned. And the Lord Jesus modeled this. We hear that he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed before the miracles, before ministry, and before going about doing his Father's business. He sought the Father. Relationship always came before responsibility. So what are we seeking? You know, sometimes fasting becomes another religious strategy. If I fast 3 days, God will answer. If I fast 21 days, God will open doors. If I fast enough, God will pay attention to my needs, my requests, my wants. God will finally give me that miracle. But Isaiah reminds us, God cannot be manipulated. Fasting is not spiritual leverage, but rather it's spiritual surrender. So verse 3 of Chapter 58 says, "Why have we fasted," they say, "and you have not seen it?" So here we notice the people's disappointment. I don't know if you've had that experience. You've prayed, you've fasted, you've done everything you believe you're meant to do, but nothing but disappointment. They're asking God questions, but they're asking from entitlement. We fasted, we sacrificed, so why haven't you done your part, God? God's response is eye-opening. He says, while you're fasting, you're still exploiting people, pursuing selfish ambition, you're quarreling, fighting. Your outward sacrifice, right, you starving yourself, has not produced inward transformation. There's no alignment between your outward actions and your inner world. We must be very careful not to compartmentalize our Christian walk because God sees everything. I cannot worship God on Sunday and wound people on Monday. I cannot pray with lifted hands on Sunday and not care about crushing people with my words. My love for God is demonstrated in the love I have for people. Verse 4 reads, "Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high." God is saying, after you've done all of this, after you've humbled yourself before the Lord, after you've gone without food, without Netflix, whatever you watch, whatever it is you've decided to fast, your relationships are still messed up. You're still not getting along with people. You're still arguing about everything. This one word really caught my eye. Striking each other with wicked fists. I wondered, why could God not just say fists? Why did he have to say we're striking each other with wicked fists? Wicked fists symbolizes actions that are driven by something. They're driven by anger, by malice, injustice. Striking each other with wicked fists, that could mean anything, physical violence, literally. Abusive or oppressive behavior. Using power to harm, to intimidate, to exploit people. Hypocrisy. Claiming to honor God through our religious rituals while treating others in a cruel way. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. You see, heaven has a standard. Not all prayers are equal. Our voice will be heard, but it will be measured against our level of hypocrisy. It's not enough that I'm praying. It's not enough that I'm depriving myself. God looks at the heart. I can lie to my neighbor. I can lie to my husband, to my children, to my co-workers, but I cannot lie to God. Psalm 139, we know this from David. Says verse 23, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I wonder for all of us, when was the last time you said, search me? And meant it. Because when you say, search me to God, you're basically saying, I'm an open book. I'm giving you permission. And as we go into this fast in the next 7 days, my prayer is that that's how we're going in. We're going in as an open book. We're saying, God, search me. And if we say, God, search me, we're giving him permission to expose to us what he finds. And hopefully, we take heed. We listen. Now, before I finish off, I just want to get a bit practical. Just talk about fasting. At a practical level, we fast by creating intentional space. So it's about spending more time in prayer, reading and meditating on scripture. We listen quietly for God's leading. We worship. We examine our hearts. We grow in dependence. So what does it look like in the next 7 days? What does it look like? If you've never fasted, you may be wondering. Well, many people structure their day around spiritual practices that replace the time that you would normally spend eating, right, on engaging in distractions. So, for example, begin the day with prayer and scripture. Pray whenever you feel hungry as a reminder of your dependence on God. Journal what you're sensing God teaching you. And read passages that focus on God's character. And of course, end the day with thanksgiving. The emphasis has to shift from what I am giving up to how am I drawing closer to God. And the Bible shows that there are many legitimate ways to fast. So you don't have to stick to any particular way, right? For most people, the normal way of fasting is no food, but they have water. And then you have what they call an absolute fast, where there's no food, no water. This is a complete fast for a short period. And then we know that some people in the Bible fasted 3 days, 7 days, 21 days, 4 days. We're doing 7 days. And there is what's called a supernatural fast. These were miraculous fasts that God sustained. And of course, the partial fast. An example of a partial fast is the Daniel fast, where you limit certain foods rather than abstaining from all foods. What we're doing here is a corporate fast for 7 days. Now, word of caution. If you are taking medication, please ensure that you follow your doctor's instructions. And if you have a serious medical condition that may be affected by fasting, please check with your doctor. We're very careful that people don't go and do things that will be detrimental to their health. So that's really important. All right, so as I finish off, there's that card there. And that outlines what's going to happen in the next 7 days. And like it's already been said, we'll meet on Zoom for 30 minutes. At the bottom, at the back page where there is that QR code, it says write three things you're believing for personally during the prayer and fast. This is a step of faith, even just writing those things down. Step of faith. So here's the thing. Whether this is your first fast or your 100th, remember, God is not measuring your performance. He's inviting you into relationship. Now, if you're not able to participate in the fast for medical reasons, right, you can still participate by fasting something else that normally occupies your attention, you know, whether it's social media, television. Now, it's up to you. It's not about, we're not really wanting to focus on how you're doing the fast. We want to focus on the fact that you are turning towards God. This week, you're turning, you're tweaking something. There has to be a tweak, right? That's the focus. And next week, we will discover what true fasting is. Because this week, we explored and we heard this is not the kind of fast. So next week, we'll find out what is the kind of fast that God is looking at. All right. So I'm just going to finish off with a word of prayer. But before I do that, just want to give people an opportunity. We do this every week. I'll just get the band. Noctula, thank you. Just want to give people an opportunity who have never given their life to Christ. So we're just going to pray together as a church. Can I get you to please stand up? All right, let us pray. Please just pray after me. We do this together as a church. But especially if you're doing this for the first time, committing your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I know that I am a sinner. Please forgive me for my sin. Come into my life and take over. I want to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now with every eye still closed, if that was the first time you prayed that prayer or you were rededicating, can I just have a show of hands, please? You're praying that prayer for the first time. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to pray for those people. You know, it says heaven rejoices whenever somebody turns their life to Christ. So Lord, we thank you for those people who raise their hands. We thank you, Father, for their courage, for their decision. And I pray, Father, that even this week, they would see the difference in their lives. They would know that you are a God of love. You are a God of miracles. You are a God who opens doors. So bless them and bless their families in Jesus' name. Amen.